As the grim count of the dead continues to rise from that garment factory collapse last month in Bangladesh, a fire overnight in a different garment factory there killed more people. All told, nearly 1,000 workers have perished in a series of tragedies that has made Bangladesh very uneasy about its recent economic successes. The growth in manufacturing in Bangladesh in the past decade has changed the society and underscored real weaknesses in government institutions and regulations. What voices will emerge now as the people of Bangladesh try to recover from this disaster and make sure something like it never happens again? One of those voices already speaking loudly is Muhammad Yunus, economist, founder of Grameen Bank, and Nobel Peace Prize recipient. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling me.
Can you help us put into context these terrible tragedies in Bangladesh? Do you believe that it's a consequence of the extraordinary economic growth over the last 5 to 10 years? Is it a horrible series of bad luck events? What do you think?
It's a very sad thing. It's a terrible thing that happened to this nation. Nearly about 1,000 people died in a crash of a 9-story building because those regulatory issues were not looked at. So it's a total collapse of that system.
And, of course, the tragic fire as well that we have this week now. I'm wondering if this is an indictment on some level of the centralized approach to industrial capitalism, where things are concentrated in buildings, concentrated in manufacturing neighborhoods. You've championed the very decentralized view of prosperity and manufacturing in Bangladesh.
Yes, it's a very heavily populated country. It's the most densely populated country in the world. So this creates a special problem. Bangladesh doesn't have a good administration. Institutions are lax, lots of corruption. So that's, I think, the major problem of that.
I'm wondering if this represents a historical watershed for Bangladesh and that the voice of workers is going to be more prominently figured in policy debates over regulations and factory zoning and investments.
It's a shocking thing that happened in Bangladesh. It's shaken the whole country. I think there are very few people in the whole country who didn't come up with tears day after day, watching the live people trapped under the building, and you can hear them, but you cannot rescue them. So this will continue shaken up. And some of the things that we have been discussing, and I have written op-eds for that, saying that one way, suggestion that I made, that why don't we agree, particularly international buyers, on minimum wage so that people don't have to work for such a tiny, tiny money, which is 25 cents per hour. This is what the present Bangladesh minimum wage rate is. And I'm saying, why don't we just raise it to 50%? So we don't have to have slave labor in Bangladesh, and Americans or Europeans don't have to wear clothes which are made by slave labor. Another suggestion I was making, that you will, whatever price that you are paying on your end, on the consumer end, suppose something you are buying for $35, now we'll have a 50 cents extra, $35, 50 cents. And this 50 cents will go into a trust fund here in Bangladesh. And this 50 cents will enormously change the whole situation in financing healthcare. So we are saying over and above $5, you pay 50 cents in a trust fund, which will be run by, say, Grameen, so that you have a trustworthy organization behind it, and will give you a logo that this is made by happy workers of Bangladesh. People need this job because we have nearly 4 million workers. Almost all of them are women. This has changed Bangladesh completely. Women coming and working in the factory, living in the city, coming out of their families in the villages. So we don't want to see this, something harm comes to this industry. And we can all resolve these issues.
Well, certainly you make a powerful point that consumers around the world have benefited from the minimum wage in Bangladesh, which works out to about $37 a month. And it wouldn't cost much to invest in the kind of social upgrades and investments that you mentioned that would prevent this sort of thing from happening again.
All that the consumers have to say, we don't want our products to be made by slave labor. We make them happy labor. And then it's out of $35, all we are saying, it will be $35.50. That's all.
Muhammad Yunus.
And that changes the whole thing.
Muhammad Yunus, economist and founder of Grameen Bank, a Nobel Peace Prize recipient. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.